Thank you, Kimberly. That was beautiful. Appreciate that. Church of the Warm Heart, good morning. Great to have you on this beautiful Sunday morning. My name is Michael Beneshek. I'm your Warm Heart Senior Pastor. It's just a joy to have each and every one of you in worship with us this morning. Sign in. Let us know you're here. Every row, every pew has a red book like this. It probably starts out in the middle. Half of you probably already filled that out already. But just sign it. Pass it on down the row. That helps us know who's here, who's not here, who we need to check on, and we also look for any special notes that y'all leave for us in there as well. If you're joining us online, we got people on the East Coast today, West Coast, down south in the Gulf waters, and up as far as North Dakota, as far as I know. Let us know where you're from in the chat. It's always neat to see our reach. Thank you, Mary Liz, for hosting worship for us today up there. My voice is a little weak. I'm going to do my best today. So the sermon might be a little shorter. Can I hear, aw?
Yeah.
Actually, we got to get it ready for, not at this service, but our second service has the children's program. So you might be looking around going, this is different. This is odd. Jailhouse Rock is what they're doing. Where's our altar, I hear you ask? Well, the altar's in the back. Again, we got to move stuff around for the stuff. So the choir, they feel naked and exposed. They're just front and center out here. Where's Pastor Jen, I hear you ask? Pastor Jen is preaching at Whitney United Methodist Church this morning. Whitney's pastor, Daryl Blanksma, he is at General Conference, which is taking place right now in North Carolina. So she is helping Whitney out while he's down there. So we'll catch her next week. Let's see, what else could I say? Oh, where's our road, I hear you ask? Yeah. So the road project that was supposed to be done in May. Not May, March. It was supposed to be done in March. That's what it was. March. There were two projects going on. They were going to work on the Hunter Lateral that goes underneath the park, and they were also going to be working on the sewer line this summer. Both projects were going to be out there. There's going to be some time in between. Now there's not going to be time in between. We're not going to have that back till like July, maybe August.
Oh, I know.
Where was that grown when I said the short sermon was shorter? That's no, not at all. There might be a little bit of time. They might do a micro seal in between. So we're just going to see what they all do. They put up fences that way we don't borrow their vehicles because the keys are in them. But it'll happen when it's happened. Thank you, Dan. Ask the city. I have no idea. Yep, appreciate that. Julia Frisbee's here. You didn't know I was going to call on you. Julia, can you stand up for a second? Julia is from Faith Foundation Northwest. They are the Methodist endowment team, investment firm, I guess, for the greater Northwest area. And she's going to be leading a quick seminar, a workshop after coffee hour in Fellowship Hall, FLC room number 2. You'll find it. If you're curious about how to give, and it's not just the church, but it's also to heirs, to other nonprofits, to in tax-favored ways, what are some of the smart ways to give to your family? What are the smart ways to give to the projects and the places that you love? What are the smart ways to give to the next generation? It's about an hour. Is that right? A little less than an hour. Awesome. So you'll be out by lunch. But if you're curious, stop on by. I know she's got some handouts, and it's more of a conversation piece. She'll share some, and you could share a little bit about what's going on in your life as well. But just stop by. Take a look. FLC number 2 after the coffee hour. I know the announcements are getting long, so I'm going to shoot it over to Pastor Pete. Everyone say hi, Pete.
Hi.
What you got for us today?
Well, speaking of folks watching online, I'd like to shout out to John and Marcia this morning, right here in the Valley, that are watching online because of health issues. So, Marcia, John, glad to have you. I say that because the last time I did this, he caught me at work and said, I saw you on TV. So we'll see what happens this next week. And that July, August, that's going to be this year, right? Yeah, been there, huh? Card makers are meeting this afternoon. If you have been a recipient of one of these cards, you know how meticulous, how gorgeous, how amazing they are. And they say that they will train you to make those things. They don't know my thumbs. But, you know, this afternoon, if you want to learn how to make those beautiful cards, join them. Also, the tech team is always looking for people. And I have heard among the congregation, I can't do that. That's too hard. They're so good. I could never. You can do it. They have a sense of humor. That's what makes them so good. And if you have a sense of humor and would like to be part of the tech team, I know they would love to embrace you and to laugh, not at you, but with you, while you learn all the ins and outs of the tech team. Habitat is going to have a build at the cathedral on the 1st, I believe. So go join Habitat in that. And I think I had another one, but it was probably not anything too earth-shattering. So I'm done.
On the whole tech team, on a lot of volunteering here, things that we have here, it is not a you're on it and you are on it for the rest of your life every single week, amen. It is it's a once a month commitment thing, or once every 6 weeks kind of thing. They'll take you for, well, anyway. Ask if you have any tech abilities. Ask upstairs, what are they looking for? It's not every week. It's every so often. With that, let's join and love each other a little bit. Let's see the handshakes, the hugs, the high fives, or just the whole good to see you, whatever works for you. And then remain standing for the hymns. In the chorus It's leaning on the everlasting arms. As much as appropriate that you can pull off, do a little leaning.
Affirmation of faith. It is on the screen. There is one God, and there is one mediator, Jesus Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. This saying is true and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and was manifest in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen. Please be seated.
Unless you're like fifth grade on down, this is your time in worship. Good to see you. Come on down, have a seat. Good morning, good morning. I like it. It's a cool purple dress. Yay. Come on down. Good to see you guys. How are y'all doing? Doing good? Awesome. Doing great. So when I was, when my kids were about your age, we started playing a game at some dinner times that we had, whether it was at home or whether it was out and about. But we would have everything on the table. What's on a table? Like at... At your table. You got food, you got... You got napkin. You got forks, knives, spoons, all that. Yep, hold on. Yeah, so we would have our kids close their eyes. They would close their eyes. And we would take something from the table. And they would have to... Hold on. And they would have to... And then they would open up their eyes and they have to figure out what it was that was missing. It was kind of a... A little silly game that we had. So I don't have a table in front of us, but I have a little pan. Can you see, just without touching, but can you see what's in here?
Yeah.
Yeah. So try to memorize as much. Try to think of as many things as you can. Hey, guys, over here. There you go. Take a look in here. Can you help try to figure out? I'm going to take something here in a second. So try to memorize as many things as you can. I got, there's keys. What else is in there? There's a fork.
Candy.
There's some candy, yeah.
And a ring.
There's a ring.
And a
scissors. Buddy Jesus is in here. Yeah.
Coin.
A penny, yeah.
A Mickey Mouse,
scissors. All right. Are you ready? I'm going to take something away. Hold on. So do me a favor. Close your eyes. 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 Move it around. Awesome. Open your eyes. What did I take? What's missing?
The dice.
I'll try one more, okay? So take a look. All right, close your eyes. Close your eyes. All right, open up your eyes. What's missing? Jesus is missing, isn't he?
Yeah.
That was the easy one. He's the, yeah. Yep. So Jesus, I'll just put these on. So Jesus is missing. Maybe I won't. There we go. Don't want to advertise. How could you lose Jesus? That'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? Can I tell you a fast story?
Sure, yeah.
So when Jesus was 12 years old, a couple years older than what you are now, his family went to Jerusalem. And they went all over the place in Jerusalem, and they went to the temple, and they went to their place where they were staying, and they went out to eat, and they all these things. And so then it was time to go home. And they lived 65 miles away. Right on the road, 65 miles away. They had all these friends and family with them, and away they went, and they got about a day away, and they discovered something. Jesus was not with them. Mom and dad forgot their kid back in town. Have your parents ever lost you?
No.
No, your parents are nice, aren't they? Yeah. Yeah. They lost them. So they took another, they had to go back. They took another day trip back to Jerusalem, and they looked for him, And they found him on the third day after they figured they lost him. And he was in the temple. He was in the temple talking to the priests, talking to the ministers about all sorts of stuff. And he says, "Didn't you know where to find me? I would be in my Father's house." So hopefully you know that you could always find not only God here, but a helpful hand. If you ever need anything, find a church. If you ever need anything, find a pastor. If you ever need anything, find a person of faith, because we help each other out the best we can. Okay? Awesome. Can you pray with me today? God above, we ask your blessings upon these little ones, that as they grow in love and godliness, that they know that they are truly loved, and that they have a home, they have a place, not only in our hearts, but they have a place here, and whatever faith community they find themselves in the future, may they always have a community around them. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming down. Uh-oh, you lost it, didn't you?
Little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
Thank you, choir. Little did you know, I was watching all of you, but sometimes you know you watch the screen, and when you're up there, you have a green screen behind you, so in post-production, we could put them anywhere,
right?
Put them in space, we can make them do the weather, it'll be awesome. Well, thank you for letting your little light shine wherever we may be. Here at the Church of the Warm Heart, we take a moment and share the prayers that we have on our hearts. You can share them out loud, you can shout them to the rafters, you can just keep them in your heart, but we'll have a moment of personal prayer, prayers that you would like to share, followed by the pastoral prayer, and then the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer will be on the screen if it's new to you. But what are the prayers of our church family today? Great God of heaven, who is like you? We could search heaven and the earth and find none like you. Oh Father, you sent Jesus into the world to save sinners, and we were indeed in that bunch. You sent your son Jesus, and then you sent your precious Holy Spirit to direct our paths and to bring about that same holiness that you possess within yourself. Lord, our prayer this morning is that you can bring life where there is death. Bring hope where there is fear. Bring freedom where there is bondage. Bring that sense of life where we don't see our future. Help us to walk in your ways, Lord. Not only help us to walk in your ways, but Lord, help us to find that path for all the needs of your children gathered here. We pray that you would heal us and help us to see your grace and work within us. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, whom we celebrate today. Through the prayer that he taught his disciples, that we may someday live by these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. Do you forgive those who trespass against us? Deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power. As willing and able, let us stand for our next congregational song, His Name is Wonderful. Sing through it twice. Thank you.
The scripture this morning comes from the physician, Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was just 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. Now, after the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends, and when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not quite understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Jerusalem with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Thus ends the reading. Praise be to God.
Thank you, Pastor Pete. So the small town I grew up in had its centennial celebration when I was about 5 years old. I barely remember it. There was a Ferris wheel, I remember that. There had softball games that we played on donkeys, I remember that. And there was a muddy drag race that people would take their cars through the field and they would hose down the, you know, through the mud. And it was between the tracks and the creek. And our family went down to the mud drag race. Our town had 100 people in it, a small town. We lived outside of town on the farm, but Grandpa and Grandma, they lived in town. But for the celebration, this town swelled to about 1,000 people. There were people everywhere. There were porta potties lined up just to cover all that. Cops were directing traffic in this village without a stoplight. Now, toward the end of the races, I went to go use the facilities at the closest outhouse. I may or may not have told my parents where I was going. This is probably too much information, but have you ever had a kid that spent way too long in the bathroom? Raise your hand if you got one of those kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. That may have been me back in the day. It might have been a half hour, maybe an hour, 2 hours, who's counting, right? I went into that porta potty when there were 1,000 people outside. When I got out, there were 12. Too long, too long. And I look around, my parents are nowhere to be seen. I'm 5 years old. But I know if I follow the creek this way, I'm going to run into Grandpa and Grandma's house. And so I follow the creek right by the track all the way down to Grandpa and Grandma's house. And when I get in visual search of the porch, when I get between me and the back row here, when I see the porch, I also see the cop cars. I also see the mayor, and I see my parents who are freaking out. Search parties were starting to come, you know? And my parents, who thought their child had been kidnapped, drowned in the creek, run over by the train, who knows what, are freaking out. Were they happy to see me? Yes! Were they mad? Yes! But they were also happy that they found me before they sent the helicopter out. I should have quoted Jesus, "Didn't you know where to find me?" If you don't see me, where am I? I'm in the bathroom. That's where I'm at the age of 5. Now, if you're a parent, a good one or a bad one, you know, many of you have lost your children at some point. At the grocery store, at the mall, large events, sometimes they just take off. And it doesn't matter if you lose them for 20 minutes or 10 seconds, you have that moment of, oh, I had one job and I blew it. And we're going to get the worst parent of the year award. And if you've ever lost sight of a child, you could relate to Mary and Joe in today's passage. Our scripture, Mary and Joseph and Jesus go off to Jerusalem. Now we are in the middle of a sermon series that we're titling Questions Jesus Asked. All throughout the Gospels, Jesus asked a bunch of questions, and they're the springboard for the sermons. And we get a question that Jesus gives today. Now, every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. Now, the celebration required a yearly trip to the temple to offer your sacrifices. It's a three-day trip. It's 100 kilometers, 65 miles from Nazareth to Jerusalem. It takes about 3 days. So off they go. They do their Jerusalem thing. They stay about a week. The law says you only have to stay for 2 days. They stay the whole week. They're with family and friends. It's a celebration. And we're in the big city. Let's see what the city has to offer. And then it's time to go. Now, Jesus is 12 years old at this time. Now, if you know anything about the Jewish faith, something special happens around 12, 13 for both now Jewish boys and girls. They go through a celebration that they call Bar Mitzvah. You know it. Bar Mitzvah, a Jewish term. It means subject of the law or a son of the law, to use patriarchal language. Bar Mitzvah, son of the law. We still have that in our English every now and then. Law and bar. In order to become a lawyer, you have to pass the bar. You have to pass the law. That's the Jewish take on it anyway. Being a son of the law meant that Jesus would be expected to know the difference now between right and wrong. And you're going from child to adult. You're going to, I need someone to take care of me, to I'm on my own. And so Jesus finds himself at this age, he's with his parents, but yet he's also starting to branch out and be his own person. So Jesus goes to the temple. He's eager to share his understanding of the law with the teachers. So he stays at the temple without informing his parents. And he astounds the religious leaders of the day with his questions and his knowledge. And he's listening to them. He's sitting among them. He's asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. In the meantime, his earthly parents have figured out that he's not in their group. So they go back to Nazareth. They went away for a day. Now it's going to take a whole day to travel back. And they're looking. You know, and they're mad because he's old enough to understand that they probably should have checked, is he with the group? But he's old enough to know you're supposed to be with us, right? Mary and Joseph, they look. And the image that comes to my mind, and this, they would probably consider this unfair, is that they were moving away from the temple, and Jesus never left the temple. They were traveling away from God, and Jesus was staying with God. Now, what I want to do with this today is just play with a question that I get sometimes asked. Hey, Pastor, how do I find Jesus? How do I find Jesus? Like Jesus is hiding or something, right? Where is he? All the oxen free. Yeah, where are you? Jesus seems to be lost. But as I look at my Bible, Jesus is the one who is looking for the lost. So how do I answer that question? How do I find Jesus? I got three quick answers. First, go to the places that you know where Jesus hangs out. If I'm looking for my kids and I got to drive around and look for them, I'm not driving to the library. They're not there. One kid might be at the library. I won't say which one, but she's awesome. Okay? Yeah, you go to the places where you look for Jesus. Where does Jesus hang out? And if you read the Gospels, he's all over the place. So I don't know how helpful it is, but you find Jesus crossing racial and cultural and gender barriers. He's talking to the woman at the well. Or he's sleeping on the boat, you know, in the middle of that storm with a bunch of working class fishermen. When he's delivering his most famous sermon, it's on a hillside with riffraff. He meets some of his first followers on the beach. When he overcomes temptation, he's alone in the desert, and you'll also find him in the temple. So when I'm driving around looking for Jesus, the first place I'm going to go, where does Jesus go? I know he's all over the place, but hopefully you'll find him here. Hopefully you'll find him here. I pray that he's here, or at least in the hearts and the minds of those who are gathered here. We're not perfect people. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not perfect. We are not a perfect people, but we preach. We preach a Christ who is. We're trying. My family once asked, what do you want on your tombstone? I don't know why they're planning this ahead so soon, but what do you want on your tombstone? I just want, he tried. That's it. He tried. And I pray that Christ is here in this space and across many other churches and many other places that we might be surprised. We try to love the people that Jesus would have loved. Where else do you find Christ? You also find Christ in the people that Jesus hangs out with. And yes, he hangs out with the saints. But he also hangs out with the sick, the left out, the misunderstood, the wrongfully labeled, the oppressed, the captive, those low on resources. He regularly directs his followers to give to and learn from people in these situations. Someone once asked, Abraham Lincoln, well, he didn't even get asked, he said this. Abraham Lincoln said, God must love the poor people because he made so many of them. Where do we find Christ? In the people around us. In the baby in your arms. In the widow that you comfort. In the giving of the cup and the sack of food. Look for Jesus in the people around you. And the last place where I find Jesus is this. I find Jesus when I find myself doing the things that Jesus did. Acts of love, acts of service, acts of volunteering, acts of sacrifice. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. You know, when the adults were busily in Scripture, when the children came up and the adults were trying to kick them away, Jesus said, let them come. Let them come. When religious leaders pushed rules, he pushed grace. When he went off to find solitude with God, and when he attended the local places of worship, he ate with tax collectors. He ate with grumpy religious leaders. He shared his time with prostitutes. He hugged people that no one would touch. And he healed people from all kinds of pain and sickness. Jesus was never lost. Mary and Joseph, they lost him for a while. But he was right where he was supposed to be. Didn't you know where I was supposed to be? Didn't you know where to find me? That's the question that Jesus asked. Didn't you know where to find me? So if your question this morning is this, how do I find Jesus? Jesus tells you, don't you know where to find me? This morning, I invite you to consider where you are on that journey. Maybe you're just starting out. Maybe you haven't even started yet. Maybe you've been a saint for years. But the good news is that Jesus is right where he's supposed to be. In this room, in the people around you, and in the lost, the forsaken, those outside this place. Let us find Jesus in the eyes, in the ears, and the hugs of the people who were looking. And the family of God said, amen. As we come to the offertory, a word of thanks to those who faithfully participate in the giving to the ministries of this church. You make this place happen. You make Jesus real for so many people. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I think we have the gift of music as we take the offertory. Thank you, Kimberly. Please stand for the doxology and prayer. Please share in our prayer. Loving God, we come together to present our tithes and offerings. We are reminded of the profound love which you have called us our children. Bless our giving and guide us in using these gifts wisely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Thank you to the musicians who made today's service wonderful. You and Kim, all the people upstairs who make the service possible for those at home as well. God bless you. To the folk who are at home watching, we just pray God's blessings for you today and for all of you. Please join us at our coffee hour. If this is your first time here, you might be wondering where that might be. Outside these doors, to the left, to our Family Life Center, just across the alley. Stick around. Let us chat you up a little bit, and we want to learn a little more about your story as well. That's our coffee hour. At 11 o'clock, we have our presentation with Faith Foundation Northwest, and 11:15 back in here, it'll be a totally different service with the kids doing their musical, Jailhouse Rock. You're invited to come back and partake in that as well. But may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, that as we celebrate these wonderful days of spring, may God's love, blessings, and peace go with you all. Amen.